First of all, as far as no, wait a second. Hold on, brain fart.
Okay, Eric, this all has to go at the beginning.
You're banned, and that's what happened.
Wow. It was a lot of drinks last night, I guess. Hey everybody, welcome to Stutter Talk. After much technical difficulty, we are finally recording and going here. You're here with Eric Jackson, my good buddy Peter Reitzes.
Hey everyone.
And our two good friends, Karen Herring.
Hi.
Hey Karen. And Sam Januso.
Hey everybody.
Nice to have you both today. Stutter Talk at StutterTalk.com and 206-888-4619 if you would like to reach us, contact us, leave a message, tell us something about the show you don't like, tell us something about the show you like, any kind of feedback, we would love to hear from you all.
Yeah, we want to mention at the beginning of the show that if you hear any moments of silence during this episode, it is not an error in the recording. It will probably be a silent, stuttered block. So because of some listener feedback we have gotten, we've decided to say this at the beginning of our shows, and we want to remind everyone to get over to stuttering101.com. We have more than 20 episodes or about 20 episodes posted that are lecture-like discussions on various aspects of stuttering and coping with this disorder.
See, that's why advertising is so cool. You can really use it for anything. Like, to let people know if they hear something a little strange on a show. If you tell people up front first, you're just putting it out there so there's no confusion or no what the hell is that when they hear it. I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sam, you had a hot topic for us today.
A hot topic. Isn't that a hot topic? I thought we weren't going to use that because it's a store in the mall.
Well, maybe you could say a hot story, but it wasn't so hot at the time.
It did take place in a Starbucks, so maybe it was hot. Haha, but
indeed.
The so, Sam, you hear it? Yes, we would love to hear it.
All right. Well, this is one of many stories because, as you know, I think you know, I work at Starbucks for the past few months, and my store happens to be the number two volume store in all of the East Coast, which I didn't even know until I worked there. You know, you'd think that the city was more crowded, but it's not the case. Anyway, so lately we've been a little understaffed, so I get there and I'm on the register, you know, where the person on the register has to call all the drinks. Now, I've been working for Starbucks on and off since I was 16, right after I got out of American Institute for Stuttering's program. So that was sort of me throwing myself into the whole desensitization thing. This time around, it was more like, oh my God, I have to get a job in the meantime while I look for a real job. It's
and not that Starbucks isn't a real job.
Well, true. But, yeah, that's true. But the Starbucks near me is the one that it is. It's very high volume. And I just, today, it was like lined to the door, slammed for 4 hours straight, like no relief. And I was just like stuttering from like the minute I got there. My supervisor threw me on the register, the far one, so you have to practically shout everything. And it just, like, got me thinking, like, this is pretty much the worst situation I could imagine, and I'm still alive, I'm still working, I'm okay, no one is laughing at me, they're filling in my words, which is annoying, but, like, you know, it. My point is it wasn't all that bad, and I just got to thinking how I think I've reached sort of a fear threshold in that I only let myself get so worked up about it at this point, because I find that helps to sort of put it in perspective and, like, not have so much fear the next time around.
Peter, you used to work in Starbucks, didn't you?
Yeah, I worked at the busiest Starbucks on the West Coast. I worked at one in San Francisco, and it's one of many things that threw me into dealing with my stuttering. I mean, at Starbucks, you're supposed to, when you're at the register, say the name of a drink across the room to the people making it, and then they don't hear you, so you have to say it again. And if you're trying to avoid stuttering, it's a really miserable job.
Yeah.
Is that about right, Sam?
Oh, yeah. And it's like if they didn't quite catch it the first time, it's like you have to stutter on it again for the whole store to hear, which sounds really brutal if you're not in the right mindset. But once you sort of resign yourself to the fact that the entire store is going to hear you stutter, it's not so bad.
I commend you for putting yourself in that situation. What do you do when people fill in your words? Do you just kind of let it go? Do you make sure you finish saying what you're going to say?
Usually I finish saying what I'm going to say no matter what. If it really just gets to me, I'll say, I got it, I just need a minute sometimes, but I never really address the stuttering aspect of it. I just don't think it's appropriate for the second that I have to explain myself, and
right.
Chances are there's a line out the door, so it's like not priority.
you know what's really funny? Like, that point where we kind of start to feel like it's okay in a sense to lash out at people.
You know?
The person probably just doesn't understand, and I'm going to finish what I'm saying, but I'm not going to get mad at this person. But sometimes it just gets to a point where it keeps happening, and you're like, you know, enough already. And then
Like,
listen, I just need a minute.
Yeah.
I think that, like, it's so fantastic that you're in a point in your life where you can take a job like that, and even though there are some hard days, like, to continue with your job. But at the same time, for someone that's not to that point, like, it's a hard line to draw, like, when you need to force yourself to do things because you want to let stuttering hold you back, and when it's okay to tell yourself that I don't want to stress myself out every day to have a job where I have to yell across the room. Do you know what I mean? Like, what made you decide this is something that you actually wanted to face versus just something that wasn't worth it?
Karen has been with me on a couple occasions when I was pretty sure it wasn't worth it. But I've done it, like, when I first, last year in September, when I was, like, looking for a job and needed to find something to do in the meantime, my mom and dad were, like, on me about going back to a Starbucks. And when I think about it, the reason I didn't want to go was, like, completely because of the stuttering thing. Even though I made it out to not be, it was completely that. And I don't know, I just kind of was like, you know, if I stop doing things now, it'll only go downhill. I've done this before. it'll be hard at first, but once I advertise to the manager and whatnot, like, it has to be okay, because that's me. I'm the person that's not afraid to work at Starbucks, so I have to make that be okay.
Right, and even though sometimes some of those old feelings of fear may kind of start to creep in, you still kind of go into the situation like, I'm not going to be afraid to do this.
Right. The minute you start being afraid of, and this can branch out to a lot of other stuff I've been thinking about, the minute you start to be afraid and not, like, tell yourself not to be and get it in perspective, it can really spiral downhill fast with a lot, like, into a lot of aspects of life, not just working at Starbucks. It could be anything.
Yeah, we actually discussed this with Joe Klein a few weeks ago, where relapse can start with one avoidance and then two avoidances, and then pretty soon you're back to all your old fears. Is that sort of what you're saying, Sam?
Yeah, it's with me, I feel like it's been such a gradual journey of ups and downs that there's never really one time anymore where I feel like one slip or two slips is going to bring me back, but it's sort of more of a gradual thing, which I guess would start with one big episode. And with things like that, where, like, I'm feeling really embarrassed because I just stuttered and everyone heard, and I'm wondering what my coworkers think. Like, if I'm going to, like, run in the back and cry about that and do that again and again, that's, like, not going to make for success in any way. So, yeah. You know, I try to do the opposite of that.
Karen, do you have any experience with working and stuttering, or any funny working and stuttering stories, or any hard stuttering and working stories?
Well, I don't have a job right now, but this isn't what you asked me at all. But something you said a few minutes ago, and I wanted to ask you about. You were saying how, like, when someone either mocks that you stutter, doesn't understand it, and you can advertise to them, but after a certain point, you feel like you just need to, like, sort of freak out, right? Is that sort of what you said?
Maybe not freak out, but where it sort of just, like, comes out without a filter.
I have, like, sort of an experience with that, I guess. I was, one of my good friends who knows that I stutter, she was introducing me to one of her other friends, and when I went to introduce myself, I didn't even, like, really stutter. It was, like, a slight pause before I said my name, and she sort of, like, laughed, and I thought I had, like, advertised in a nice way and just saying that I stuttered, but then the next day she was talking to my friend and saying how it seemed like I was mad. And I feel like there's almost, like, at least I don't know what the way is to inform others without almost not being aware of what I'm saying.
Wait. She said that she thought you were mad because, or she took what you said as you sort of getting agitated with her or something?
Right. But I almost feel like there's no good way to talk to someone about stuttering without them feeling like you're on a high horse or trying to teach them the right way.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
No.
I think that girl was... Okay, let me censor. I think that was a little bit ridiculous to make it about her, for her to make it about her. And I think that that's a lot of people's reactions when they, either still don't get it, don't believe you, or just flat out don't understand what you were trying to get across, and they feel like a little bit stupid for trying to make a joke, and you're like, actually, no. And I think that some people can take that feeling of insecurity and be like, oh, I'm so sorry. And some are like, oh, like offended almost that you didn't just laugh it off.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wouldn't like spend another like second thinking about it, but I do know it's like a little annoying.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sam.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Peter.
All I want to say is that, Karen, I have the conversation we're having now with my wife sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And I find myself saying to my wife, not everybody has to like you and not everybody has to understand you.
Right.
And yeah, and I don't want to sound preachy, but I've reached the point in my life where, you know, there's a lot of people, not a lot, there's some people who won't get me or won't like me, and it's kind of like, all right, that's fine. I got a topic that I want to bring up. We have in our reading room a article called Creating Your Own Roadmap for Change by Walter Manning. And I'm bringing this up now, Sam, because of what you were talking about it with going back to Starbucks. Let's start with you, Sam. Walter Manning says in the article that dealing with your stuttering and that recovery really works in cycles, where things will get better, then you might have some backsliding, and then you'll focus on your stuttering again. Have you found that in your own experience with dealing with stuttering?
Yeah, oh my gosh, like I couldn't agree with that more, because, you know, and maybe I wouldn't have said the same thing like 5 years ago, but as a person who stutters, who's done intensive therapy, I hate to always bring it back to that, but that's my center. That's what everything with stuttering comes back to. So since I started really working on desensitization and techniques and all of that when I was 15, I'm 23 now, and it's like, ever since then, it's been an ongoing cycle, you know, usually a couple months on and off. So there'll be periods of good times with speech, and then periods of not so great. But I used to practice a lot more than I do now. Lately, I guess in the past like 2 years, it's been more just social development in relation to the way that I view my stuttering and the way that I interact with people and the way that I feel about it. And I'm not saying that I've neglected therapy, but I've just been really working on staying at a good level of confidence all the time.
How about you, Karen?
I agree with what he said 100%. I mean, I think that I have my highs and my lows where they can go on for days or weeks or months, or you think you're in a really high point, you can say and do and you feel great, and no matter what anyone says to you or the reactions you get, no one can hold you down, and then you get in a really long block and you want to crawl into a hole. So, I don't know. I guess it really... Sorry, what?
No, I said that's so true. Sorry.
Okay, so, I have a new rule. We're not allowed to say sorry anymore. Okay.
I agree. It's super true about crawling into a hole.
So, the next time somebody says sorry, they're going to be pushed into the proverbial hole. Karen, please continue.
Now I lost Lost train of thought.
It's
gone now.
You were saying sometimes you feel like you just want to crawl up in a hole, and I think you were getting to the fact that that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we all go through the points where we're in sort of a low spot, and I think it's hard to see that we're not. When you're in a low spot, you feel like you've always been there, and I feel like it's hard to remember that it's not always like that, and you will get back to feeling like you can do anything you want and say anything you want.
You know, recently, like very recently, I want to say in the past like two months or so, I don't know if it's like the fact that I've lived in New Jersey now, in the suburbs of New Jersey after living in the city, and I'm just about driven over the edge, but I'm sort of just like, you know, I found myself stuttering openly, and like, I'm not saying I don't stutter, because I do a lot, but this time I find myself like every now and then, like when I'm actually stuttering, just being like, mentally, I'm stuttering right now, and I'm gonna stutter even more on purpose to prove that I don't care what this person is gonna do or think.
Cause wow,
stuttering, and it doesn't even matter. And I've like,
that's awesome, Sam.
Yeah,
never even done that before, because I've always been so self-conscious, and I still am, but. Like, you know, I'm doing that more and more, I guess, because I really can't help it. So why, like, feel weird about it, you know?
It's so good to hear you say that. Because, of course, you're open about your stuttering. But we've had conversations in the past, you know, where you would kind of allude to the fact that, like, yeah, I guess it's okay to stutter, but, like, I would really rather not. And that still might be the case, but, like...
Yeah, I don't know if I don't feel that way anymore. Like,
yeah.
I don't think I'd say that, but I guess I must, to an extent, not feel that way as much, because I'm just really trying to like... fearlessly stutter. It makes it less severe, I think.
Absolutely.
I love that term, to fearlessly stutter. That's great.
Thanks.
Cool. Let's take a break, and then let's get back into some of this stuff.
Hi, this is Michael Sugarman, co-founder of the National Stuttering Association. I want you to tune in and listen to these guys. They're pioneers in the field, and we're just getting the word out. So thank you, guys, and keep on talking.
Hey, this is John Melendez from The Tonight Show, and you're listening to Stutter Talk.
Hello, this is Kristen Camella, and you're listening to StutterTalk.com, and I hope you're going to be tuning in, because it's a great show.
Hey, everybody. Hope you guys are doing well. This is Caro from Our Time, and just want to thank you for listening to Stutter Talk.
Peace.
Welcome back to Stutter Talk. We're here with our special guests, Sam Genuso and Karen Herring. And in Walter Manning's article, Creating Your Own Map for Change, he says, as an aside, that somewhere in our 20s, people who stutter, we realize that we're always going to be dealing with this condition. Have you both had that experience? And if so, when did you realize that you were going to be living with this disorder for a long time? Let's start with you, Karen.
I never really thought of it like that, but now that you say that, I guess there was a point where it occurred to me that this is my life and something I'm going to have to deal with. I probably didn't really even consider it until I started doing some self-acceptance work, because before that I was really just focusing on hiding my stuttering and voiding. So I guess once I actually started to let myself accept the fact that I'm a person who stutters and sort of understand what that means and accept that this is who I am, but it's not going to hold me back, I guess that was the point where it really occurred to me, this is something that I'm going to be having to deal with for the rest of my life, which is something that I understood, but I don't think I necessarily looked at it in a bad way.
Yeah, and I'm not sure he meant it as in a bad way. In fact, what I think he was getting at is it's when you realize you're going to be dealing with stuttering for a long time, that's something that might make you decide, hey, it's time to focus on it. It's time to accept it. It's time to deal with it. Was that your experience or no?
I think I probably understood my life after I started doing self-acceptance work, okay, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, actually, it's nice because it surprises me. I wasn't expecting you to say that, but that's why I asked the question. So, Sam, how about you?
Well, when you first said that, I thought of, once again, when I got out of the program, I had my Sweet 16 like 2 months after that. And, you know, there's like a candle ceremony where you say like a little blurb for everyone that you call up. And, you know, that's hard for anybody, but like a 16-year-old who stutters, it was like really scary, of course. And I remember when I was in the like right before I was about to do the program, I remembered thinking, like, I just had no fear at all about this candle lighting ceremony, because I was just so sure that after the program, I wouldn't be stuttering anymore. I was like, oh, I don't even have to worry about that. I could write anything I want because I'll be able to say anything. I'm not going to stutter at all. I'll be cured. And I remember my mom read some of the cards because I was still stuttering. And, like, I got up there. I talked about my speech. I talked about my friends from the program that were there. Like, I was open about it, but there were some, like, lists of names. My mom read them for me, so needless to say, I was far from cured. And ever since then, I sort of just realized, you know, I think I always thought that maybe when I'm, like, I don't know, 45 or something in that range, I'll like have complete control over it. But that was only, you know, that mentality was short lived. So I think the more that you accept that you're going to live with it forever, the easier it becomes.
And for me, it was kind of a gradual thing. I remember having conversations with my dad when I was younger, and he would flat out tell me, this at some point in your life is going to be a problem for you. And, you know, while it was a problem back then, and nobody was really acknowledging it back then. I guess my dad was right in the sense that at some point I was going to start to realize it was a problem. But I did always think, well, yeah, but I'm 10, I'm 11, I'm 12 years old. At some point, it's just not going to be a problem anymore. And then all of a sudden, I'm not even that sure when it happened for me, but I guess it was when I went through the program that Sam and Karen were referring to before, Catherine's program at the American Institute for Stuttering, and like I felt that I had so much success there and felt so incredibly empowered, but at the same time realized that I was going to be stuttering probably forever.
But at the same time, I feel like even if you accept the fact that you're going to be stuttering for the rest of your life, that doesn't always make it easier to accept when you do stutter. I mean, I feel like there's still hard times, and you still, even though you understand that you're going to be stuttering, don't necessarily accept it.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That might have sounded.
I just think it's better than not accepting it and being like, well, I'm not going to stutter for much longer, because then you keep yourself from learning coping mechanisms, you know?
And it just goes back to the point that learning to accept the fact that sometimes you're just not going to be okay with it is okay.
Yeah.
Beep, beep, beep. I'm going to put some crickets in there.
No, for our listeners, that was not anyone blocking. That was just a lot of mental blocking going on.
I thought that was a good point. I guess
no, it definitely was. I think we were all being gracious and letting somebody else jump in.
Yeah.
Accepting that you're not okay with it has been like my method, my main method, I think, for a long time. Well, one of them, if that makes sense. You know,
being realistic
about it. Like, I accept the fact that I stutter. Like, no one needs to tell me that I stutter. I know, but like, I think it's helpful to be realistic with your feelings, even if they are that this sucks at times. Mm-hmm. I think it's helpful to do that. Because Eric had just said, it's even if sometimes you're acknowledging that you're not okay with stuttering, so I was just agreeing with that.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. I'm sorry, Karen. Go ahead. I said I'm sorry.
Yeah, someone's putting $1 in the stutter talk jar.
Karen, take it.
I was just gonna, like, we always, well, not we always, but I do this. Get myself in to feel badly from time to time, or accept that it was hard and it wasn't fun. But I just think it's odd that we don't give ourselves permission to avoid sometimes. Like, I'm not saying to avoid all the time, and I understand how you guys were saying before, how if you avoid once, you're more likely to avoid the next time. But I feel like if you're going through like a really bad week or a really bad day, I don't know, I think it's fine to say that I don't really want to call my friend on the phone, or I don't really want to, I don't know.
No.
Aaron had told me that once when I was having a really rough like couple of weeks, I guess, like really rough, and she was just saying like, maybe you have to take a break from Starbucks. And I told her, I was like, well, I didn't really want to do that, but I think the problem there could just be the risk of falling into that trap of avoidances. You just have to really know yourself, you know?
Yeah, I would love to keep going with this here, because I think one of the hardest, hardest things for me, and I think that Peter's had some similar experiences too, but it was that rub, like first coming out of therapy feeling like Hercules, you know, feeling like Superman, taking everything on, taking every single challenge on, and like constantly fighting that the urge to avoid or the urge to hide. But what's so hard sometimes is figuring out a good balance, because for at least a year after I went like advertising crazy, I kind of got to a point where I just couldn't keep it up anymore. And it was really funny too, because the whole time I was doing that, Peter was always like, oh yeah, like keep going, it's great, it's great, but sometimes it's okay to avoid. And I would kind of say like, no, I'm never avoiding stuttering again. Yeah.
Never avoid, ever.
Yeah, so finding that acceptance that sometimes if we kind of feel like stuttering sucks and we want to just not deal with it, it's okay. I still try not to do it 99% of the time, but those times that I might or I'm kind of on the verge of doing so, I tell myself, just kind of let it go. But I have to say that at the same time, I'm a little afraid that I may fall into those old patterns.
Yeah, I'm glad that you shared that, because that really articulated my view, because I didn't do that well.
Yeah, thanks. I think it's really neat that we talk about accepting stuttering, and we also talk about the fact that some days it's really hard to accept all of our high-level goals. I mean, it's not easy being a stutterer, and it's not easy saying to ourselves, we'll never avoid again. I can remember somebody telling me at a self-help conference that I should be 100% okay with my stuttering. Mm. And they were not a stutterer, but they were so engrossed in self-help that they believed it. And I'm like, well, I don't think I'll ever be 100% okay with my stuttering, but I'm better. I mean,
yeah, right. Can I keep the honesty train going here?
Please.
I think an important time in my life too was this past summer when I was an extern at AIS and I met Joel Cordy. And I'm sure that Joel wouldn't mind me talking about this on the air. If he does, too bad. But, you know, like, he, and I'm sure, Peter, that this is kind of what you saw when you first met me. But he was completely, like, from the get-go, like Superman. Like, any little thing that he felt like he didn't want to do, he did. And I saw that, and it was so awesome. It was so exciting. And in the back of my mind, and of course I didn't say this, but in the back of my mind, I was like, how long is he going to be able to keep this stuff up? You know? And we had conversations about it afterwards, and we had really open dialogue about the fact that sometimes it's just too hard to keep this stuff up. And at that point, I was kind of like, oh yeah, I think that this really does happen to a lot of people.
You know, I have a quick little blurb about on this track, back to Starbucks. The other day, it was really crazy, and one of the girls I work with is one of these real loud, like, friendly, loud types, and we're cool, like, we're friends, and I was stuttering on the name of the drink as I put it on the bar, and she goes, you need me to yell it out? And she took it out of my hand and yelled it. And, you know, I was actually really appreciative. I wasn't, like, insulted at all. I felt like she saw me struggling, and she wanted to help and get the drink out so it wouldn't be an issue. I just think, like, I right there, I was like, wow, should I be, like, really mad and really, like, let myself down? But instead, I was just like, dude, give yourself a break. And I just let it go.
Yeah, that's what I like about you, Sam, is that I think you say things that maybe other people think, but they might not feel comfortable saying.
Yeah,
I've heard you say other things like that. No, but I mean, I would be pissed if somebody did that to me. But I know people who stutter who, like you just said, would think, wow, that was nice of her. So I'm glad that you shared that.
Yeah,
yeah, usually stuff like that would piss me off. But for the first time, I was like, okay, let me not, like, take this personally for once. And just let it go. And, you know, it felt better than getting all worked up about it.
Do you think a part of it, Sam, is the fact that because you do kind of challenge yourself so much that letting it go every once in a while for you is okay?
Yeah, it's like shopping. It's like a treat.
I don't know. Like, I have to say, I'm thinking about this, and I'm trying to put myself in the same position, and the first thought that comes to my mind is that I would stop everything I was doing at the time and be like, you're not saying this for me. But as I hear you say it, though, I'm like, huh.
No,
I mean, I challenge myself an awful lot. Maybe this one time it's fine.
Yeah, you have a line out the door and be stuttering on every single drink for 2 hours straight and have somebody take it out of your hand and say it. You're like, thank you, God, thank you. You know, it depends on the situation, and that was definitely a good situation for that happen.
Hey, Sam, I just thought of a promo you could say for us. Stutter talk is like shopping. It's a treat.
Dumb.
I know it's dumb, Eric. So I'll tell you what. Let me stick with Walter Manning questions, and if you guys are tired of it, just tell me and we'll move on. But one of the topics in Manning's article is making progress. So I would like to know, Karen, how did you know, or how do you know, that you're making progress?
I definitely don't judge my progress by my full fluency at all. I think I judge my progress of different situations that I go in and how I feel before I go in them, or how I feel when I'm in them, if I'm stuttering a lot and I don't seem to care, I think that's great. If I'm about to order at a restaurant or about to make a phone call and I don't feel myself getting all tensed up, I think that's great. I think there's these small things that if I didn't actually consciously think about them, I probably wouldn't even occur to me how tense I once would get. But looking back, I think it's really clear that of all the progress that I've made.
Sam?
Me? Sorry.
Yeah, how do you know when you're making progress?
I totally agree with Karen when she said she doesn't judge it by, I know you don't like the word fluency, but I have to repeat what she said.
Well, I think in this sense it's okay, though, because we're reinforcing that the term's not good, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't help but feel that I'd like to be fluent more often.
That's the dollar, though.
So I guess, you know, my scale of confidence comes with just how I feel in general. And sometimes I feel good because I let somebody say something for me for once. And sometimes I feel good because I was able to use my techniques really effectively. And sometimes I feel good because somebody was smirking at me while I was stuttering and I still stuttered anyway, even more, you know? Like, it depends on how I feel about it, but I would like to measure it with fluency sometimes, but that's just sort of impossible because, you know, it's much more emotional for me.
I feel like that concept is just still really hard for me to grasp. Like, how can you say that it makes you feel good when you stutter openly, but it also makes you feel good when you use your tools and you prevent stuttering? Like, I just don't know if you can really do both. I don't know how.
The gloves are off. Okay. Well.
Wait. Peter, so this is exactly what we were talking about. Sam, go.
Well.
It's boxing here.
Aaron.
Stutter boxing.
But this is the Stutter Talk Smackdown.
Yeah,
yes,
right.
Stutter Talk Smackdown. Dun, dun, dun.
He knows me. I'm not going to just say things aren't true.
I mean... I didn't mean to sound rude when I said...
Yes, you did. Sam, go.
Right, I'm going. Thing is, as I said before, it was really recent that this whole, like, stuttering openly more thing has been happening, you know, and like we talked about, stuttering is so, what's the word? Like, it's like a metamorphosis. But it just takes forever and it undergoes all these stages, and I just feel like, I mean, I even told Karen this, sometimes I feel like a fraud because I'm always trying to be really like open about my stuttering and talking about how, like, we shouldn't be afraid to tell people that we stutter. And there are times when I'm just like, oh my God, I absolutely hate this. There's nothing good about it. And this is how I feel. So am I a huge hypocrite for trying to feel good about it sometimes? I mean, it sucks overall. You know, I mean, Peter knows I feel that way. But, like, what are you going to do? You know, we already talked about how we've acknowledged that we're going to live with it for probably forever. So, you know, you got to deal with what you have. And I think that's the most
that's the most we can do, is do the best with what we've got. So every now and then I try to give myself a break. You know?
Karen?
Just like really trying to wrap my head around it. Like, I don't think anything you said is not true. I don't understand, not just you, but how anyone can be completely accepting of themselves, but at the same time using tools all the time to prevent stuttering. Like, if they were okay with it, why are they using tools?
Well, I totally agree with you on that, and I never said that I was totally okay with it. That's why, I mean, I'm trying to be. It's never going to completely happen, because I mean, that's just not me. I care too much about what people think, but I try to be okay with it by stuttering openly and whatnot, but deep down, I want to be fluent, so that would be nice too. But I totally agree with you. It's like a paradox or whatever you'd call it.
Yeah.
You know, Sam, I'm sorry, Eric, no, and I did. I'm sorry for saying I'm sorry.
Yeah, really. Stop saying I'm sorry and go ahead. Just talk.
Yeah. You know, Sam, I really hate it when people make me think on this show, which you just did. And I'm realizing as you speak that I always want to stutter. But within that realm of stuttering, I want the power to completely control my stuttering when I want to. Meaning, I know it's okay to stutter at times, but I really do feel that stuttering is a feeling of helplessness. And I don't like that feeling. So while I don't want to give away my stuttering, I do want to feel like I'm controlling it and it's not controlling me. Eric, you want to just jump in?
Well, I think I kind of think we're playing with semantics here again, because it's not really about the fluency. It's not really about stuttering. It's about just that feeling of control. Of course, I mean, regardless of whether or not a person wants to use speech tools to be in control of their speech and not stutter, or a person just wants to stutter openly, in my eyes, the end result is still the exact same. It's that control and it's the ease with which the person communicates, you know? So I'm not sure if I've ever said that before, but I really think that in that sense, the goal of a more like fluency-based approach versus a stuttering modification approach, accepting stuttering, being open with stuttering, is really like the same. The difference is that in one, you're not as fluent, quote fluent. And don't fire me for that.
I don't know if I feel that way.
Okay.
Karen, why is that?
I was on the same page as you until the very end. I don't think that the stuttering modification stuff and the more fluency shaping stuff is really the same thing.
I think, no. Certainly, in theory, they're completely different. I'm saying
right. What
a person who stutters can get from both of those approaches. And what a person gets is that feeling of comfort with communication, whether it's being disfluent and being okay with it, or being not as disfluent or being largely fluent. Like, the overall goal is just that comfort in communication.
Yeah.
Karen.
Yeah.
My thing is sort of, not sort of, it is. Why, what's the point of thinking of it the way that you're thinking of it? It's like, you're right, but why, like, you're right in saying why, like, how can a person be completely okay with stuttering and still want to be fluent at all? But, like, why should somebody have to pick one?
I guess for me, when I'm trying to focus on fluency tools that I have learned, I'm trying so hard to use my tools and to become more fluent that when I can't, then I almost get down on myself.
Oh, I totally feel that.
Well, at least for me, it's hard for me to do both. Like, I can't try so hard to be fluent and still feel good.
I get that. But it's better than not having any techniques, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in that regard, if a person is just constantly trying to be fluent and that's the ultimate goal, then definitely that's going to cause for a lot of frustration. That's what we mean when we say chasing the fluency god.
Right.
But I think that if those kind of fluency enhancing tools are used with the understanding that, yeah, first I have to be okay with either stuttering or sounding different. You know, I'm starting to see those two things as the same, like stuttering in front of people or just using speech tools and sounding different in front of people. They're both hard because you're thinking of this, of what the other person's thinking about the way that you sound and how you sound different. So as long as a person gets that and is kind of okay with stuttering, then yeah, I definitely see nothing wrong with using fluency enhancing strategies. And while in theory it may seem contradictory to being completely open about stuttering and accepting stuttering, I think practically it works. Or
right,
that
practically, is that the right word there? Practicality?
Practically. Oh, practically. Yeah, logically.
Yeah, right.
I'm thinking of, like, younger kids that I know, you know, that stutter, that, like, claim they're okay with it, but in reality, they're really just switching every word so that they don't stutter that much, mm-hmm. and that's why they're okay with it. And I kind of just thought of that now. It's like, well, what are you okay with? Are you okay with your stuttering because you're, like, making it so that you really don't stutter? Or are you truly okay with stuttering, but you still want to just manage a little? Mm-hmm. You know? I don't know. Is that completely off topic?
No, I don't think it is. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Hey, I want to throw a wrench in here. For me, I was dealing with stuttering openly and stuttering less from the very beginning. So I really don't think, in my case, one has to come before the other. For me, I liked reducing my stuttering because the act of stuttering is tiring and it's stressful and it's struggle and it makes communication for me unpleasant and hard. So while I certainly don't mind stuttering, I do want to stutter less because it makes talking more enjoyable for me. And I don't think that's a cop-out. I mean, for me, the physical struggle of stuttering is tiring. So that's just one other viewpoint.
Yeah, but
Go ahead.
Sam.
Oh, it just made me think of someone I know. He had said, you know, he's pretty severe, and he had said, like, I'm losing my train of thought now. It wasn't the fact that he didn't want anyone to know. That was fine. He just wanted to stutter less because it was so hard to communicate. So there's definitely two big lines there. It's like what people think or what you want to get across. And sometimes you may think like, oh, this person is just self-conscious. Like, it's not the case. They just want to be able to have a conversation.
I have to go back to what Peter said. Certainly, while stuttering less is less tiring than stuttering more,
or can be, doesn't have to.
Right. I think where Karen was coming from before, and correct me if I'm wrong, Karen, but.
Sure.
But you were kind of talking about, like, strictly fluency enhancing tools. And, Peter, I think you were talking about stuttering modification stuff.
No, I wasn't.
But you never used fluency, like, shaping or anything like that when you were dealing with stuff.
Well, I used... One of my favorite tools to this day is pausing, mm-hmm. where you're putting pauses between words like James Earl Jones. And while that's not fluency shaping, it shares the goal of fluency shaping, which is to stutter less often. So, no, I mean, I certainly...
The goal of fluency shaping is to not stutter at all.
Well, okay. That's just not how I think. Some people might use pausing to not stutter at all. I do it to reduce how often I stutter because for me, it often makes speaking simply more enjoyable. And I have to say also that I probably stutter less than most people who stutter. But even that being the case, it's still struggle and it's still tiring. So... Karen, do you want to get in here?
I feel like you guys have said it all. I have nothing else to add.
but can we just stay on this for a little bit more? Because I thought, Karen, when you initially brought up this the idea of this whole paradox, like how can a person be totally accepting of stuttering while at the same time trying to use speech tools that completely eliminate stuttering, right?
Right.
Yeah. So that's all I was saying, Peter, is that, like, while pausing is certainly a tool that reduces stuttering, I thought that Karen was referring to fluency shaping, in which the goal is to never stutter. And that's why it's so hard to grasp that concept, that it's possible to be okay with stuttering and to try to use fluency enhancing strategies.
All right, here's the deal with that, Eric. What you said is correct. However, me being who I am, I've grown to understand that there are some beneficial ideas in fluency shaping stuff. However, I would find the benefit in that stuff with never accepting that it's to never stutter again. If I use aspects of fluency shaping, which I really don't, but if I did, I certainly wouldn't do it to never stutter again. I would do it to try and prevent some moments of stuttering or to reduce my stuttering. But that's just a different, I think, perspective.
I have some
We have the same... I'm sorry, Sam, but...
No, go ahead.
But we have the same perspective, Peter. Like,
oh yeah, no, of course we do. Yes,
that's exactly how I kind of look at the fluency enhancing strategies as too. But the point that I was trying to make was that in theory, and when you're talking about that paradox, you know, it's like either stuttering none of the time while at the same time completely accepting stuttering. And that's what you were talking about, right, Karen?
Right. Like Peter, let's say you're trying to use some of your tools, but they just don't seem to work for one day because, I don't know, you're having a bad day. Does that mean that you almost failed in a certain sense because you couldn't make your tools work? Or is it fine because you've accepted it?
Oh, it's definitely the latter. It's fine. You know?
Well, it's fine to us, but like, if you're strictly going by what the strict practices of fluency shaping and stuttering modification are, which people shouldn't be doing, of course, anymore or at all, it's not fine, and there is some kind of disconnect there.
Right. I think that's what I don't understand, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I don't understand it either, guys, but since we're pushing the point, I will have to say it is fine only because everybody's going to deal with their stuttering their own way, and I don't ever want to say that's not, I don't like how you're dealing with your stuttering. I mean, certainly we can share opinions, but you know, if somebody really wants to chase that fluency god, that is fine. It's not my choice.
Right, sure.
Yeah, and maybe I did, and maybe I didn't even have to say that, but I felt like saying it.
I hate to do this, but I have to make an analogy. I just thought of one. Yeah. Think of any disorder, really. Like, okay, let's use blindness. It's the most, like, I don't know, universal. There's being okay with being blind, and there's not using a walking stick. And I think if you think about that, it's a little bit relatable to stuttering. It's like, just because you're okay with stuttering doesn't mean that you don't want to, like, do what you have to do to get the job that you want. I know I'm, like, treading into thin ice over here, but I just feel like a lot of people may disagree with me, but, you know, I think you got to be smart sometimes and just think about it. Like, it's really important to be okay with stuttering, but it's just as important to be realistic. And if there is a way to help yourself to be successful, since not everybody understands stuttering, not everybody ever will, and that that person may be the person that's going to give you the job that you want. You know, you may have to, like, put the, like, I'm completely okay with my stuttering on the shelf for just a day or something. Do you get what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. And I'm starting to think about ringing a bell right now and starting round two. I was going to ask Karen if she wanted to reply.
Karen does not agree with anything I just said.
Karen?
Well, I don't know what you want me to say. I mean,
no.
I guess we,
I just want you to say what. Yeah.
We don't see completely eye to eye on everything, and I think that's fine.
Of course, yeah.
Sure.
I don't know, man.
Hey, okay. Yeah. Oh, I was going to ask another question, Eric, unless you had one.
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay, so here's the question, and if it's a dud, we'll just skip it. But
okay.
No, because it could be a dud. I don't know. But do you guys ever find yourself having intellectual goals that might be fair, they might not be fair, things you think you should be doing that you're not doing? Sam?
I'm going to take that as a yes.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, actually, yes, and then I realized that I think I should be doing them, so I do them. So technically, no. But I'm applying to grad school, and maybe I didn't do it until now because I was, I don't know, reluctant for multiple reasons, but maybe one of them had to do with speech. But you said intellectual, like school and stuff, right? Like, what do you mean exactly?
Well, actually, I'm glad that you took it there, but I meant in the sense of, oh, I should never be avoiding stuttering when I go to the dry cleaners. Like, goals that you might have in your head is what you want to do, but in real life you don't really do them, and you don't even know if they're fair.
Like, personal kind of goals. Can I go second?
Yeah,
Karen. Yeah. Just keep in mind, though, I love that you initially took it the non-stuttering route. I thought that
was cool. Oh, yeah, same here. Yeah, totally.
But Karen?
Well, that's actually what I meant, too. So I don't mean to bring this back to your job again, Sam, but is that sort of what you mean? Like, how I had said that, is it wrong that maybe I wouldn't want that job, and just to sort of cut myself some slack?
No, I admit, and I know very well that I am the enigma for a person who stutters. Like, no, like, what am I trying to say? It's completely normal to not want to work at Starbucks if you stutter. I guess just because for some crazy reason I decided to when I was 16, it's like the kind of thing that I set myself up for back then. And so my personal preference is to keep this, and this is to your point, to keep the strict standards that AIS has set. It's not always good because I do get down on myself a lot, but I think that that's better than avoiding, because I'm working on giving myself a break every now and then. So a nice balance is good. That's what works for me, at least. But it's okay to not do things like, you know, you're going to struggle. I mean, if that's what you feel comfortable with, then that's fine. But if you want to work at Starbucks, then maybe you should pursue it, you know? I mean, not you personally, but...
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, people in general. But then you're like, oh, do I want to work at Starbucks because I want to work at Starbucks? Or do I want to work there because I feel like I should challenge myself?
From
a person.
Right.
And I think that that's an important distinction there, too, because I definitely feel like during the past 3.5 years or so, I've done things probably more because I've wanted to challenge myself than me actually wanting to do the things I was doing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I think that is a wonderful place to wrap things up. Sam and Karen, it was a pleasure to have you both on today.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun. Thanks.
Thanks, Eric and Peter.
And thank you. We really hope that you guys will come back and join us again.
Yes. Take care. Stuttered talk. Stuttered. Awkward stuttered silence at the end there. Stuttered talk at stuttertalk.com. 206-888-4619.